Welcome to the Informed Pregnancy and Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Elliot Berlin. Today's guest is a wife, mother, birth worker, artist, writer, actress, certified birth doula, Reiki practitioner, yoga instructor, hypnobirthing childbirth educator, herbalism apprentice, co-creator of the birth meditation program, Mind Plus Breath Plus Body, and she and her husband started a business making and selling vaginal steam stools and herbal steaming blends. She's no stranger to the program. Nicole Sessions, when do you sleep? Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you.
And
thank
you just
you.
Came from a birth.
I did.
And you have more energy than I do.
Yeah, well.
You look like a freshly charged Tesla, and I feel like I have one battery left, one bar on my phone.
I know there's sleep in my future. Maybe that's why.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And also, we talked for 1 second about the birth high.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You had it, but the birth was over.
I had it, yeah. And you know what? It's like I saw the mom today, and it's one of those things where I saw her again, and I was like, oh, this is so good. Mm. She was glowing. And, you know, this is her third baby. She had the baby at home. She had two previous hospital births. And her oldest son caught the baby in the water.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, so this was a home birth?
Oh. Yeah. It was incredible. And I've had a crazy year of not the best outcomes. And so ending, because I'm going to be taking some time off, this is a great way to end my year.
My son is a pitcher. Whenever we go in the backyard and he's practicing pitching, we'll say, let's do 50 pitches or three. But he always says the last one has to be a good one. Otherwise, more pitches.
I like that. It's like, what is that management style? It's like positive, negative, positive.
Yes.
Always end it on a good note.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Today we're going to talk about vaginal steaming, which I've heard about in passing, but I really learned about it from you. And since I learned more about it from you, I've exposed a bunch of our clients to it, and they love you.
Yay.
And your products.
Yeah.
So before we get into vaginal steaming, let's talk for a minute about your background. I could have gone on longer.
Yeah, it's a little obnoxious. I think like my family is a hilarious family. My mom's email signature is like MD, MPH, MBA. It's over the top.
Yeah, I just put alphabet.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot going on.
How did it all start? Where are you from originally?
I grew up here.
Here in Los Angeles?
Yeah, one of the few natives.
Wow. Did you leave and come back?
I left. I went to undergrad at Berkeley, and I stayed up there for a couple years.
What did you study at Berkeley?
I studied mass communications, which was like by default. My family is like very academic, and I wanted to be an actor. So I said, Mom, I'm going to go to Berkeley and study acting. And she was like, no, you're not. So I kind of minored in it, and I say kind of because I did all of the classes except for stagecraft. And I was like, I don't need to know how to build a stage. This is silly. So I did Shakespeare. I did speech. I did, you know, scene study. And then I stayed up there for a couple years, and I moved back down here, and I kind of went for it. I joined the union. I started doing commercials, little TV.
I would say you look familiar, but I'm face blind.
That's true.
But you sound familiar. Yeah,
I know your voice.
I know your energy.
I'm placing you.
Luckily, I get to be around your energy.
Aw.
When did you sort of, because, I mean, acting and birth work are, you don't, although now I'm seeing more of them together.
There are a lot more. And it's this funny thing where I'm noticing I have some peers that are doing both. And it's like, how do you market yourself? You know, it's like, our client's going to be like, are you going to be on set when I'm giving birth? Mm-hmm. And so some people really integrate it and they're like very forthcoming about it. And I'm more just like, you know, I work 2 to 3 times a year acting wise.
As an actor, yeah.
And so the chances of the overlap happening are very few. And it's never happened, knocking on wood. it's an interesting thing. But yeah, they don't really overlap, I would say. I feel like parenting. Being a parent overlaps much more.
Yeah, that's not just 2 times a year.
Yeah,
all the
time. Well, I feel like that's what makes me a good doula is being, you know, a parent. So I think your question was like, how are they related? So I...
Well, sort of how did you foray from one to the other?
Yeah, so I had a baby.
Oh, that's what happens to a lot of people. Yeah.
I had a baby and it was amazing and wonderful. And I felt super supported and I thought, wow, I couldn't have done this without my midwife and my doula. And my midwife's student midwife, whatever she's called, the teacher, the assistant.
But it sounds like you were kind of more earthy, holistic about birth from the very beginning.
I was.
Where did that come from?
Well,
your parents like that?
No. Oh, my God. I was just like on all the medication, on all the antibiotics growing up.
Growing up, you had the cabinet with the cure for everything?
Yeah. And we'll come back to this, but I remember like going through puberty when I first got my period. I was like pounding Motrin and Advil, like... And I try not to really touch that stuff now.
Yeah.
So my background really is super medical. Like my mom's an anesthesiologist. My sister's a pediatrician. My mom's twin sister's an OB-GYN. So like very medical. How did I get here? I think when I came of age, I just kind of like switched paths. I felt like more drawn to natural, holistic things. And
how do all the medical people in your world feel about that?
Not so much. It's funky, you know? It's funky because I think they respect me, but they also are like scared for me in a way. You know, it's like
a lost soul.
Yeah, like I mean, I just think, yeah. It's I'm just very different from the rest of my family.
I see that. I'm still waiting for puberty to hit.
Right? Oh God.
Thanks.
Really?
Maybe I need some herbal.
Right.
Steaming or
something. Or you need some antibiotics. I think that's what makes it go faster. So you know, my family is definitely, they're respectful, and I think after having a home birth and an out of hospital birth, that really helped them to be like, okay, you know, we're going to respect her choices, and we may not agree with it, but they definitely are much more on board.
Sounds like one of those houses where it's more comfortable to talk about politics.
Oh, God. Mm. That's also not a good subject.
So it just sounds like you have so many tools in your holistic tool belt with the meditation and the hypnosis and the doula work and the childbirth education and herbalism. Mm-hmm. So is herbalism what led to steaming?
Herbalism came second.
Second?
Yeah.
To herbalism doula work?
Yeah, I came after. I actually have graduated from that program. And
congrats.
Thank you. Yeah. So steaming came because after I had my second baby, my cycles became very wonky. They're just like all over the place, 22 days, 35 days, 29 days, 37 days. And previously, both on birth control and off birth control, they were 28 days. It was like totally to the T, totally predictable.
So as soon as you got it back after having your first kid,
it was fine. Yeah. So I had my first and I got my period maybe 6 or 7 months postpartum, and it was 28 days, no issues.
And then
after my second, you know, I was slightly older. I was 36, I guess, 35. Mm-hmm. And they were super wonky. And I didn't want to get on birth control to regulate them, because that's a whole other subject that I don't know that we have time to get into. But I didn't want to suppress my hormones. I knew that they were wonky, as I like to say, but I didn't want to put that Band-Aid over them. Mm-hmm. So I did some research and steaming popped up and I was like, oh, I'll try this. This sounds super interesting. And within 2 months, my cycle went from wonky to 28 days.
Wow.
Yeah. And by 2 months, I don't mean steaming every day. I mean, I steamed maybe 4 times in each month.
When were you first exposed to the concept of steaming?
When I Googled it postpartum with my second. Yeah, when I was looking for something other than, you know, ortho tricycline to regulate my...
Oh, just an alternative to regulating your cycle, and steaming popped up.
Yeah, and, you know, I asked my gynecologist, who I adore. I love him. I think he's like 82.
Ooh.
He's amazing. And I know a lot of women are like, oh, I'm not that into male gynecologists. He's so lovely. He also went to Berkeley.
Does he deliver still babies?
No, not for a long time. Yeah. No, he's just so wonderful. He doesn't rush. He's like, just takes his time. And he's like, you're crunchy. And I respect that. And I'm going to listen to what you have to say. He's so wonderful. So I brought that to his attention. And he was just like, well, you know, we can put you on the pill. You should be on the pill because you can still make babies and you don't want to make babies right now. And I said, yeah, I'm not into that, Dr. Margolin. And he's like, okay, well, that's what I have to offer. And so that's when I started Googling and researching and I found steaming.
Steaming for regulating your cycle, but not for the other benefits of the pill.
Which benefits do you mean?
I don't know. Because with the pill, the pill doesn't just regulate your cycle. It's also meant to prevent birth or pregnancy.
So, yeah, that's a great question. And here's why. So when my cycle is regular, meaning it's 28 days, I can tell when I'm ovulating. I can feel it. I'm one of those like hypersensitive people that can feel it.
Hmm.
And I ovulate day 14 when I'm in a 28-day cycle. So I know when to use protection. So it's, you know, natural family planning.
Can you feel which side is ovulating?
I can, and I track it. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I ovulated like 4 days ago on the right. And I'm like, oh, I'm feeling something funky right there. And then I go into my app and I'm like, oh, it's day 14.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it's pretty
cool. So by regulating your cycle, you can sort of naturally
plan around. Yeah.
And avoid conception when you're not ready for one.
Exactly.
Oh, that's pretty cool. So let's jump right into the idea of steaming. I mean, that's how you used it originally.
Mm-hmm. I've used it for other things, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What else can you do with steaming? And then we'll get into the mechanics of how it all works.
Yeah. So I originally used it to regulate my cycle. That worked, I think I said, in about 2 months. I also started to have pain during ovulation, which can be a sign that you have cysts on your ovaries.
Whoa. So yeah. When you feel ovulation, it's not painful? Because you said you can tell when you're ovulating.
Usually it's a sensation. So like a twinge, not a painful twinge, but a twinge that I'm aware of, if that makes sense.
For the like a whole 24-hour?
No. Well, sometimes I have pain, and that's when I'm steaming for what I imagine. Again, I haven't gotten an ultrasound and confirmed that there's an actual cyst on my ovary, but from my training and from working from an intuitive space, I feel like there's something going on. So if I have just that sensation I described, to me, that's just like a normal ovulation. And, you know, I might feel like that twinge or just a sensation or a presence or like a heaviness for, you know, 6 hours, something like that, maybe 12.
Okay.
Yeah. And then if there's like a pain, and that was why I started steaming for it, or that was another reason that I started steaming, I would steam day 13, 14, and 15. And after, I think, 2 months, the pain went away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And is it the same herbs that you use for these different things?
Right. So the herbs are really interesting. There's two reasons. The main action of the steaming that provides results really is the heat and the water, which create the steam. And then the steam creates circulation. The herbs themselves have all kinds of different properties, right? They can be cooling, they can be heating, they can be nourishing. And I create steam blends, hopefully, that have all of these different properties depending on what people need. So you could steam, honestly, without herbs. You could steam with just water and have results and have benefits. The plants really just elevate the experience. So if someone is postpartum, I would do white sage because it's cleansing and lavender because it's soothing. I would do stinging nettle because it's nourishing.
Are those things based on how they smell or based
these
on
are
how
the
they
properties
feel?
Of the plants.
But yeah. Are you getting those benefits from smelling them or are you getting them from contact with them through
contact.
The steam? Through
yeah.
the steam.
Yeah, contact with this through the steam. So the plants have essential oils, and the idea is that the steam penetrates the vaginal wall and it goes even higher. So it can go up into the uterus and cleanse the uterus.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How many herbs are there?
Endless.
Endless number of herbs.
Endless, yeah. Like,
so does that become daunting to really learn how to use them? Both individually and in blends?
Yeah, I think, you know, if somebody was just wanting to start out and they wanted to make their own steam blends, I would say work with a plant that you know. Like if you have mint in your backyard, mint is a great plant to steam with. It's cleansing, it's super refreshing, it smells amazing. And if you wanted to experiment with other things, you know, you could Google it. There's plenty of blogs and information out there. But yeah, I think when I'm doing the blends, it's because I went through training. I studied with Steamy Chick.
Steamy Chick?
Yeah, yeah.
You can't just gloss over that.
She has, oh, I'd love to tell you about her. Her name is Kelly Garza, and she is currently training people to teach people to steam. And she started, I think, about 6 years ago, maybe 7 years ago. And Kelly has a really awesome system of how to put together herb blends. She teaches people, you know, how to steam for themselves and then also how to be a practitioner so that they can provide steams for other people.
Oh, wow. Steamy Chicken.
Yeah. So what's really cool is...
Because I was going to start one called Steamy Dude, but I don't know.
I don't know. I just kind of picture
maybe
like
not.
A smelly guy, like,
yeah,
you know,
true.
In a trash can. What's that Sesame Street character guy?
Oscar the Steamer?
Yeah. That's what I'm picturing.
The Grouchy Steamer.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I love just like experimenting at home. I'll just throw things together, like working intuitively, a plant that I've been drinking for example, there's a plant called holy basil or tulsi. It's in the mint family. And that's a plant that I worked with when I was in my apprenticeship. And I drank this plant and I thought it would be really cool to steam with it. And I did. And it was lovely. It was wonderful. So
or do you have to worry about impurities in the herbs and getting certain quality herbs?
Yeah. So I would recommend people getting herbs from Mountain Rose Herbs or a trusted brick and mortar store that they know.
Mountain Rose is online?
Yeah, it's online. And Amazon is usually fine, too. There's Star West. There's Frontier. These are, you know, providers of plants. I would think like maybe mold or something, you know, would be the biggest concern, or getting a product that was mislabeled and you had an allergy. So, for example, if you're like allergic to, you know, Mexican marigold and It How'd says you know? That it's calendula. Yeah. I just had a feeling. I was like, you're looking kind of like.
Are there herbs that don't go together? Like, never mix this one with that one?
Yeah, I would say that's more so like if you're ingesting. I think when you're steaming, it's pretty safe. Mm-hmm. And I think that most people are using like common household herbs. So one of the people that I credit with my knowledge for this practice is a woman named Rosita Arvigo. And she's just an amazing healer, and she's based in South America in Belize. She took this practice, this Mayan practice of steaming, and kind of spread it and made it more commonly known. And she uses oregano, basil, rosemary, like culinary herbs, right? Mm. So I think if people are starting there and they're not like starting with some herb that's like blue cohosh or something that's like supposed to start contractions during labor.
Right. Maybe then... only start with the things that you're comfortable having on
exactly.
your pasta.
Yeah. And then... yeah. That's a really good guideline.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Steamy dude. You mentioned regulating cycles, mm-hmm. Painful cycles. Are there other things that steaming would be helpful for?
Yeah. So I would say like whenever I'm just, you know, having conversation at a cocktail party, cause like, I go to those so often with a 4 and a 6 year old,
yeah.
But whenever I'm getting to know people and the conversation comes up, like so many women have painful periods. I just have cramps and we're all told it's part of being a woman, you know, take some Advil, get on the pill. And we're not actually meant to have cramps during our period. Hmm. So what I call, or some people call, a perfect period, or a period that's a healthy period is a really a better way to frame it, is bleeding for 4 days, starting with fresh red blood, ending with fresh red blood, and painless, no pain, no cramps. Hmm. Most women are like, I'm bleeding for 7, 8 days, it's very heavy, and I'm like knocked out for a couple days. That's not how it's supposed to be. So steaming, for most people report that within a couple months, they are bleeding only 4 days and they're having painless periods. Hmm. So one thing I want to say really quickly is we're also told that like starting with brown discharge or brown blood is normal. It's not normal. That's old blood. And it's a sign that the uterus isn't cleansing itself properly every month. Hello, steam. So mm-hmm. steam comes and it cleans the uterus out and you see the results usually within 1 to 3 months. You can see that you're starting with red blood and ending with red blood, which means that you're getting a full uterine cleanse.
Okay. After a break, I want to get into the mechanics of how that's done.
Yeah.
Are there other specific things that people use steaming for?
Sure. Trying to conceive. So, you know, a few months before you're trying to conceive, it would be great to steam several times a month, really to get the circulation increased in the uterus so that it is cleaning itself out in preparation for implantation. Fibroids, uterine fibroids, growths, cysts. People have actually had to cancel surgeries for their fibroid removal, having used steam. And, you know, if it's a super ginormous fibroid, it might not work. But if it's in the beginning stages, you know, you can shrink fibroids and they pass through and it looks not so pretty. Mm-hmm. But the steam can shrink and pass fibroids.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So cysts, fibroids, painful periods. What else? Like BV, bacterial vaginosis, HPV. There's been a couple of cases of people healing HPV, which is like
that's wild,
amazing. Yeah, some of the herbs have antimicrobial, antibacterial, antiviral properties, and so
you know you're making me think about GBS,
right, Elliot? What?
Yeah.
Whoa! Well, you can't steam while you're pregnant.
Oh, you can't. I was wondering about that.
Yeah. Okay. So
but
here.
You could steam before you get pregnant. I mean, just not that that'll help you at the end per se, but.
No, but here's what I'm thinking. This is like, okay, this is like, warning. I'm not condoning
steaming. We're just thinking steaming. Out loud.
Yes. We're just like spitballing. I'm not condoning steaming while pregnant. There are some people, however, who steam right before they go into labor.
How do you know and when you're about to go into labor?
Well, like. You know,
you mean in the last weeks of pregnancy?
Yeah, you're like 41 weeks or whatever, and you're like, I just had a couple contractions in an hour. So I guess my point is, I wonder if at that point, if you were GBS positive and you steamed with a certain blend, if you could kill the bacteria.
Hey, well, I'm all up for a study.
Yeah. We'll get so much funding, I'm sure.
Before we go into a break, what is the contraindication? Why can't you steam during pregnancy?
Steaming softens and opens the cervix.
That would do
and
it.
We need to keep that sucker closed.
Right. Yeah. But that would mean maybe after 37 weeks, that's no longer a contraindication.
Right. It could be. Yeah.
We don't know if that sucker opens up. In fact, people are like, what can you do to get that sucker
open? Right, I know. They're like, all the things. Acupuncture. Go see Dr. Berlin. Steam. Right. Get this.
Some people would rather steam than have a spicy salad.
I'm sure.
And a lot of people would rather steam than other things that are recommended at the end of pregnancy to get the baby out.
So true.
Yeah. All right. Queen of Steam, Nicole Sessions, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back on the Informed Pregnancy Podcast. This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike, Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby, not even diaper rash. Welcome back to the Informed Pregnancy and Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Elliot Berlin, and we're continuing our chat with Queen of Steam, Nicole Sessions. All right. You had one thing else you wanted to talk about as a reason, an indication for steaming.
Because it feels really good and it's super relaxing. Self-care is like this crazy over-the-top buzzword right now, and I think that it's warranted and needed. But steaming feels really good, and the steam can stimulate the vagus nerve, which releases oxytocin. Mm-hmm. Another reason maybe to steam.
Why you don't steam before 37 weeks, but perhaps not recommending.
I feel like we're like uncovering some new ground here. This is exciting. But where I was going with this is steaming is not just for people of childbearing age. So after menopause, women report lots of vaginal dryness. Steaming is a great lubricator. So I highly recommend people who are experiencing vaginal dryness, which could be postpartum, which could be postmenopause, during menopause, as a practice for relaxation and then like pre-sex as well.
Pre-sex?
Yeah.
Like earlier steam. That day or like
right before?
Right before sex. Mm-hmm. Do men steam?
Men can steam.
Tell me more about that.
It's called an A-steam.
An A-steam V? It's like an upside-down V with a little thing going across.
It sure is. it's an A-steam. So men can steam.
But women can A-steam also. Yeah. Is that part of the goal? Do you just steam the whole neighborhood?
Yeah, I mean, or? It depends on the setup. If you're using like a bowl, how big the opening of the steam chair you're using is.
We're going to talk about that in a second.
Yeah, so you probably are steaming both if you have a bigger opening.
On your steamer apparatus.
Yeah, we should clarify.
Yes. Okay. But otherwise, then you could steam front or steam back.
Yeah, but it's pretty much all getting
What would be the benefit for a man to A-steam?
Right. So it's lubricating, it's cleansing and purifying. If you have hemorrhoids, you know? Yeah, these are all reasons.
It sounds like if you have hemorrhoids, it would be painful.
You know, once you get them under control, like once the hemorrhoid's back in, you steam, and it's bringing circulation to the tissue and healing that tissue.
Hmm. Are there other things you can steam, or is that just about the...
Besides your face and your undercarriage?
Yeah. Right. Oh, I like it. It's like the car going through, the undercarriage wash. let's talk about practicality. I mean, would you say that before sex, both partners should steam?
Yeah, they could. Yeah. I had never thought about that. Usually it's, you know, mostly women. But yeah, a man could steam before.
Yeah. Or both male partners or both female partners?
Yeah,
or,
all of the above.
But if it's a guy-girl partnership, then, I mean, it just seems a little more lead into, because you're like right before sex. It just seems like if they're doing together, it's like a little...
Yeah, okay, I should clarify. So, like, I'll use my own life as an example. if I'm, you know, the kids are down and I'm going to steam that night, like I'll steam while we're watching a show. My husband and I are watching a show. It's not like foreplay. Hold on, honey. Hold let on, me get the yoni thrown and I'm going to steam.
Let me cook up some
while
herbs.
You rub my shoulders.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It could be like that. It totally could be like that.
It could be date night.
Yeah.
Especially if you haven't done it before. Yeah. It seems like interesting and curious.
Yeah.
Absolutely. As long as you don't burn anything, which brings us to my next point.
Yes.
How do you steam?
Yeah, so steaming is very simple. You take fresh water, you put it on the stove, you add your herbs, you bring them to a boil.
Just tap
water? I would use like purified filtered water.
Just because of where it's headed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm just a little weirded out by tap water in general.
Sometimes, yeah.
You bring that all to a boil. And then you turn it to low, low, low and cover it and let it steep for, 10 minutes. It's okay if it's 20 minutes. It's okay if it's 5 minutes.
You're boiling the oils and essences out of the herbs?
Yeah, but you put a lid on it to maintain that, to keep the essential oils, the volatile oils.
But it's like getting out of the herb into the water.
Yeah, and we're using dried or fresh herbs. Mm-hmm. So if you have plants in your house, I think it's really special to go into your garden, get the mint, get the lavender, get the rosemary. It's so neat to grow your own plants if you could and then steam with them.
I love the world you live in. I think most people don't have their own little garden.
No, but many people can grow
Snickers.
Like a pot basil, right, in their house.
Yeah, you can. I'm just saying, but they probably don't.
Yeah, they probably don't, and they should.
Yeah. No, I mean, the way you're talking about it, I want to go out to my yard and do that.
And A-steam?
No, just even have the herbs, even just to eat, for eating fresh herbs.
Yeah, this is a new thing, Like I told you, I did not grow up this way. I mean, we grew tomatoes and we grew strawberries, but this is like a whole new
You have like an herb garden at your home.
I do. We have an herb garden. We have grapefruit trees, lemons, avocados, peach. My husband really wants to start, I don't like to say the word commune, but that's basically what it is. Many homes, buildings on a plot of land and grow our own food and have people we love around. And, it's probably not going to happen anytime soon. He's an actor.
There's this total side tangent.
There's this
company called Community Gardens.
Yeah.
Have you heard of them?
Uh-uh.
They encourage growing gardens, especially in communities like lower income communities that need more vegetation and things like that. So they give them seeds for different kinds of peppers.
Oh, cool.
And then they grow peppers and then they buy them back, community garden buy them back, and they make hot sauces out of them.
I love that.
I know.
And where did they sell the hot sauces?
Oh, I'm sure you can get them online.
Okay. This is very cool. And, I'm all about...
I saw it on the Hot Ones. You ever watch the Hot Ones on YouTube? It's they take all these different celebrities and other people, and they have 10 different hot sauces and wings, and they just do an interview while they're eating.
And are they crying while they're?
Oh, but not everybody makes it to 10.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't last a second.
Yeah,
such a lightweight.
I know. I see the one pepper lit up out of five, and I'm like,
you're already crying and sweating.
I cry from ketchup.
Yeah,
basically, I'm wimpy. All right, back to steaming.
Yes.
So you cook up all the herbs and you let them steep.
Yeah, you steep.
Steep, not seep.
Yeah, they're not really steeping.
Out of tea.
Add a tea in there. So they're steeping. And then depending on your setup, I use the yoni throne, of course, because that's what my husband made me.
Your husband built you a throne?
Yeah, so he's like this wild Jesus-like carpenter with no training. He just intuitively builds amazing things out of wood. He's just a handy guy.
Wow.
And so I kind of drew what I wanted, and he made this beautiful, beautiful seat. And it's in the shape of a triangle, which, for me represents the sacral chakra. So that's the area between the belly button and the root chakra. So that's all of our reproductive organs. So it has some beautiful symbology there. Anyways, you take your pot of herbs. If you're not using a steam stool, you can sit over a bowl and you just want to check the temperature. So this is the biggest side effect or risk, right, is burning yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So you check it just like you would check a baby's bottle, just like you would check a hot pot on a stove.
Just by touching the side of it?
You would put your hand over the steam or your wrist, the inside of your wrist, and if it's too hot, then don't sit.
Not ready yet.
Yeah. And I just kind of like start to sit down over it and I'm like, oh, that's too hot. And I pop off. I don't recommend everybody doing that because it might take you a second to hop off.
As limber as you are. So
right.
You're a quick hopper.
Yes. Yeah.
But wait a second. What about those little, because they have like for the baby bottle and things like that, or for the bath, right? Yeah. They have those little duckies that you put in there.
Right. So you could totally use that. You could use a meat thermometer or any kind of thermometer. But you do want it to be hot enough that steam is coming up because that's the whole point. That's how it works.
So, is there an ideal temperature?
I've never measured it.
You just do it by touch.
Yeah. And I feel like it's different for everybody.
Okay.
Right.
So once it's not too hot.
Right.
But still.
Let's be really vague here.
But still fairly warm.
Once it's safely warm.
Yeah.
I like to say pleasant. It should feel pleasant.
Okay.
Yeah. So once it's pleasantly warm, you squat over your pot or you sit over your yoni throne or whatever setup you're using, and you cover up from the waist down. The only exception to that would be if you like live in Arizona and it's 115 degrees, then don't cover up. We don't want the body to overheat. Some of
you
the traditional
cover
healers.
Up from the waist down.
Yeah, to trap the steam and also to keep the body warm.
Oh, so you're kind of exposed over the steam.
Oh, yeah. Take your clothes off. Forgot to say that part.
Yeah.
So you want to disrobe from the waist down, right? Because the steam wouldn't be able to penetrate
to
jeans or underwear or anything like that. So disrobe. And you want to put like a light blanket or shawl around your waist, again, unless you are in a hot climate. Or if you are like if you tend towards dryness, like dry hair, brittle nails, dry skin, that's showing me that your body is dry, and so you don't want to increase the heat. So when you wrap up, you're like trapping more heat in the body.
And then sounds like a nice thing to do, kind of on an almost cool night.
Totally,
on the porch.
Yeah, I have done it outside in the front yard. I felt very oh God, is someone going to see me? Call the police.
Neighbors.
Yeah, well, I made sure they couldn't see me. But it was such a beautiful experience, right? To just be outside and steaming and be in nature. Like our front yard
garden,
is very, it's very tree-filled.
With your triangle-shaped throne.
Yes. So socks, a lot of traditional healers really believe in, you know, keeping the body warm. And the positive benefits that happen when you do that. So keeping socks on is, you know, I like to have socks on my feet.
Do you guys ever make a double throne for couples?
No. That's cool, though. I love this. We have, like, the date night
foreplay
double throne going on.
Sure. And also, I think a little herb kit with, like, a description of what each of the herbs does.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, you can Iron Chef the herbs.
I love it.
Make a game out of it.
Yes. Very cool.
So if you don't have the throne, you're kind of squatting because you can sit on the throne.
Mm-hmm.
And then it seems like it would be a lot more comfortable to just relax your body sitting on the throne. And there's an opening and your herb jar, like a mason jar with your herbs in it, is underneath there steaming through.
Exactly.
But if you don't have that, you just kind of squat over it.
You could squat over a pot. And I also tell people if they have an old chair or a beach chair, like from CVS, or go to Goodwill and take either cut a hole, if it's a beach chair, cut a hole out of the beach chair with scissors or remove the layer of the seat from an old chair and then you have a steam chair.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, our thrones are not cheap. They're priced like according to how much effort goes into making them. And he uses really beautiful wood. So it's not, you know, it's not a, you know, cheap thing. And so I always tell people, like, here's other ways to do it. You could use a squatty potty. You could get that little stool and sit over that. So
can you ship the throne?
Yeah, we ship
anywhere?
It. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, not anywhere. We could ship it overseas. It would just be like crazy bananas expensive.
Yeah.
But
in the U.S., you can
In the U.S., we ship them. Mm-hmm.
And you also sell the herbs?
We sell the herbs. Mm-hmm.
Do you grow the herbs?
I grow herbs, but I don't sell the herbs that I grow, just as a liability
and
thing.
And do you sell individual herbs or blends or both?
Blends. So I have a blend for postpartum moms. I have a blend for people who are having like an active infection, like a yeast infection. It can be really great for those. I don't think I mentioned that. I have a blend for people who have short cycles. So some of the herbs can induce bleeding. And you don't want to use that if you have a cycle that's like 21, 22, 23 days long.
What about people who have no cycles?
Yeah, so they would want to use herbs called emmenagogues. Those are herbs that make you bleed. Of course, we would want to look at the other like underlying issues of why you're not bleeding. right? There's probably something going on. But yeah, you could definitely use herbs that would make you bleed. Something like angelica would definitely, hopefully, induce some bleeding.
I mean, I have this thought swirling through my head about early miscarriage. And, you know, sometimes you're just waiting for it to pass. Or maybe afterwards. I mean, I'm just thinking out loud.
We're so on the same wavelength. I'm loving this. So the original use of steaming, like this is a practice that's thousands of years old. The original use was postpartum. So it wasn't, you know, I have a yeast infection or my cycle's wonky. It was postpartum. So there, I have my little list because I never remember. The steaming is found in Turkey, Latvia, Sweden, Britain, Italy, Germany, Romania, Haiti, Jamaica, Trinidad, Tobago, Hawaii, Babylonia. So this is like ancient times.
We have to make a song.
It's Babylonia. It's thousands of years old. And the primary use was postpartum steaming. And that was to clear the lochia. So
what's lochia?
So lochia is the afterbirth, right? It's the blood that remains in the uterus, and women often bleed for 4, 5, 6 weeks after they give birth. What's wild is when you steam after you have a baby, it clears the lochia, so you're not wearing a pad for a month. It clears it right away. So
like in a day or two?
Yeah, you'll see the blood will come out. Yeah, it will come out. Like it might fall into the mason jar.
How soon after you have the baby can you do that?
You could steam. Some people steam immediately. I think that the comfort level, especially when I'm working with clients, like people are kind of like, ooh. So my clients will sometimes wait like a week or 2 weeks, but there are people who steam the same day or the next day. You just want to make sure that the uterine arteries close, that you're not having like active, superactive bleeding.
Is it different with the cesarean birth?
You want to wait. You want to wait till the stitches are healed. So I say like 6 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I know that someone posted on her very popular Instagram page a picture of her steaming outside. And her feedback was, I mean, she's hilarious to begin with, but her feedback,
I love her.
Was pretty good. But then all of a sudden it became like this news story about is steaming good for you or bad for you?
Right.
What would be the downside of steaming? Why would people in the medical community be nervous about it?
There's like so many ways to answer this question, so I'm going to try to be concise. I mentioned like the downside for steaming is, or the main risk is getting burned. Another risk is having an allergy to a plant and you didn't know that was there, so you could have an allergic reaction.
But that could be true with any essential oil or anything else.
Yep. It could make your cycle come early, right? Because some of the herbs make you bleed, and so it can make your cycle come
postpartum,
early.
Postpartum, meaning your
at
cycle
any
come
point,
early? Any cycle come
at
early.
At any point, So those are kind of the things that could happen. And some people might experience feeling dizzy or feeling dry. Like it can be dehydrating in a way. So I often encourage people to have water before, during, and after. So that's kind of part one. Part two is I think that like I'm saying like you can steam and get rid of a yeast infection. You can steam and regulate your cycle. So when you look at the medical establishment and how they might react to someone saying, try this alternative method, that's threatening, you know, that's threatening, even if they're not acknowledging the power of this modality. And so I think it's very easy to attack it and say, like, that's crazy, like Gwyneth Paltrow's nuts and Chrissy Teigen's nuts. Why would they do that? It's not safe.
It's Teigen.
Well, shut your face hole. Are
you
serious?
You didn't see her post about that?
Stop it. How am I the last person to know that?
Well, she said it's Teigen, you know.
Like Tiger?
Yeah, but since everybody says Teigen, she's not going to correct it anymore. She's going with Teigen.
What?
You say potato.
Chrissy Teigen.
I say
Teigen.
Potato.
Okay, I am in solidarity with pronunciation of her name, and I will stop saying it incorrectly.
And it's Legend.
It's what?
Legend.
What is that?
John.
Stop
I'm
it.
Just kidding. No.
You mean Juan?
Yeah. Juan Legend.
Joan Legend.
But it is Teigen, technically.
Yeah. Okay. So anyways, my point is, I think that it's threatening when someone is saying that there's an alternative, right? And when you look at the articles of like the doctor comments, it's written in small print, like this doctor actually has zero experience with steaming, but they're talking about it as an authority and saying A, it's unsafe, or B, it's unwise, or it doesn't work, and they actually have no idea.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. One of the comments that struck me the most was a doctor who said, first of all, the vagina is a self-cleaning organ,
right?
Number one, and it's disempowering for you to steam.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think it's disempowering for you to tell a woman what to do with her vagina.
Right? And I think it's actually the opposite. And this is why I'm so fired up about steaming. It is a way to have body sovereignty, right? Like, I'm healing my cycle. I'm healing a yeast infection. I'm caring for myself postpartum with something that I'm doing myself. Like, I'm in control. And so that's empowering is all get out. That's the opposite of disempowering. And I get what she's saying. Like, maybe she's saying it's that whole idea like, oh, vaginas are funky or they smell bad or they're dirty. Like, that's not at all what we're saying.
Right.
We are allowing people to have a form of self-care that's soothing and that works and that isn't like a pill, you know, or surgery. Because really, what is my gynecologist offering me? They're offering me birth control or they're offering me surgery. And this is like a low-cost, beautiful self-care way to take care of yourself.
And sounds fantastic. Yeah. And I send people to, and they really love it. So a lot of times there's just like, hey, I'm going to try it and see how it goes. Yeah. And then they fall in love with it.
Yeah. So,
well, we've run out of steam.
No.
thank you very much.
I was waiting for it.
You were?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
Yay.
Where can we find you online?
You can find me at yonithrone.me for our website and on Instagram, yonithrone. I'm also the sweet yogini on Instagram.
You sure are.
What
does yoni mean?
Yoni is a Sanskrit word for vagina. So vagina, vulva, all the lady parts.
Okay.
Sanskrit.
Do you have a different throne for dudes?
No, but I feel like you're opening the market there.
I know.
I'm like, we need to make a throne for guys.
Opening the market is a weird way to put it. All right.
I love it.
We're going to find you at yonithrone.com. Thanks.
Dot me.
Oh, dot me?
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
Someone stole it. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yonithrone.me. But if you actually... I always just search yonithrone.
Yeah. And it should pop up. Yeah.
Okay. Nicole, thanks a million for being here. I can't wait to have you back again for another fun and exciting topic. And at home, thanks for listening to our podcast. If you have a topic you want to discuss, and we're getting a lot of suggestions, and they're great suggestions, we're getting through them as fast as we can, write to us at info@informedpregnancy.com.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a whole lot. This kid's gonna test my will. I got a lot to learn and my baby's due.
This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike. Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby, not even diaper rash.